The Hollywood Sex Task Force, Roy Moore, and Sexual Impropriety, all coming up on this uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They are the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president. Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into Korea.
Gee, it's amazing that the Russians have been able to influence four special elections.
Okay, we're actually recording, so lay off the dirty, filthy talk for okay? Sarah, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Uprising.
Very good to be here.
Sarah Calgill has written three stories in the past few week and a half or so about some aspects of the sexual, what are we calling it, sexual misconduct crises that America and aspects of it are facing, the most recent of which was about the Hollywood Sex Task Force. So thank you for joining us, Sarah. And could you tell us what is going on in Hollywood that you wrote about this week for LibertyNation.com?
Well, they've decided that it's a good idea to form a task force to kind of weed through all of the accusations against, you know, everyone, which is seemingly becoming a large forest fire to try to put out in Hollywood. They have brought in a special prosecutor. It's the same kind of thing like, you know, the Ken Starr and Whitewater. And who knows what's going to happen. And honestly, LAPD, they have a division. Their sex crimes division is perfectly capable of taking this on. But I think you're looking at a PR stunt, just another layer of government for the taxpayers to fund.
It's a not security theater, but sex crimes theater then. So show something
is.
Has been done and we get to be all virtuous about doing something meanwhile.
Well, it gives people a false sense of security that something mm-hmm. is being done in the industry. And in reality, they're setting somebody up to be the face of either success or the person to pin it to when everything falls apart.
Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence that you've seen or, I mean, in terms of like actual serious, you know, some sort of sociologist or somebody, is inappropriate sexual harassment, I mean, forget, let's set aside if we might actual assault and rape and that sort of thing to one side for a moment, and just say like super creepy, using one's job or position to get sexual favors, that kind of thing, is that more prevalent in Hollywood than it is in, you know, the restaurant industry, in whatever?
Yes. And it's, you know, for some reason, Hollywood and politics seem to be hand in hand on this. It's the power. I guess, you know, when you're the intern or the starlet, the casting couch or the, you know, the Senate leather couch, whatever, mm-hmm. looks good. Maybe, you know, when Monica Lewinsky was accusing Bill Clinton, she was enamored with him.
Isn't there a Monica Lewinsky, though,
man,
in corporate America right now? In other words, like, so what I'm saying is, we know about those instances in politics and in Hollywood, but is it just, I don't know, I guess my thought is, this must be, I mean, people use power to get what they want. Oftentimes, what they want is sex. So, by the way, and they use it to get what they want, oftentimes without regard to ethics or morals, right? Whether it's sex, money, could be, you know, could be a trip on a private jet. It could be anything, but
right?
It's often sex. Isn't it used?
Well,
go ahead.
I think that the women or men who are put into the position of being the victim have a choice, number one, but may feel that they don't. And there's where we get into the sticky wicket because, you know, one intern's fun is another intern's horror. And there's varying degrees of what people accept as normal and what, you know, they think is a crime. Now, in corporate America, people climb the ladder, or, you know, they're going to slap your hand, lickety split, and sue the company to get ahead. I don't think they take a lot of, you know, prancing around. Hollywood politics, it's hush hush.
I had a short life in politics, actual politics, working in the legislature day to day, and I saw a lot of infidelity and a lot of, like, sort of fooling around. But I didn't hear any of the women who were my peers who may have talked to me about this. I'm not saying they definitely would have. But, you know, young women just out of college, sort of a typical target, you know, rich environment for this kind of thing. And I never heard of this kind of an onslaught of this sort of thing. In your experience, you don't have to say of your personal experience, but people you know, you talk to, is this, you know, you worked in politics for a while. To what extent do you think this is prevalent, I guess, outside of the sort of fantastic stories that we've been hearing on the news?
Well, I think luckily you and I haven't experienced any of it. I in all of my political, you know, jobs, I never witnessed that. I was never, you know, maybe I'm just not attracted to this, but, you know, I never had those problems, not one.
It seems like it's only a problem when demand and supply aren't there's no meeting of the minds there. Meaning, I'm sure there are plenty of relatively attractive young women who would exchange access to their body for a starring role in a major film production, just not certain ones. And so, if you're a producer,
well, the certain ones in Hollywood that said no didn't get very far. But you know, this has been going on in Hollywood since Hollywood began.
Yeah, I mean,
this is,
that's
not anything new.
Part of the reason for it is
the casting couch has been the big joke, and it's, you know, everybody knows it's true. Nobody did anything about it. No one.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I wonder, should anybody do anything about it? And I'm only referring here now to voluntary, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you want to sleep your way at the top, go ahead.
Right, but, right. If Rose McGowan wants to have sex with Harvey Weinstein to get into a film role, and it's between the two of them, then yes, that's fine. If he rapes her, then obviously that's not fine.
Right.
Which actually
threatens to, you know,
sure, or menaces her,
or
blocks a doorway in the case, as I understand it, as what's alleged in Manhattan in that case with Mr. Weinstein.
Right.
Which actually sort of brings us to another point, and it's a little bit, you know, we try to keep it PG or PG-13, I suppose, on the podcast, but it makes it a little difficult to talk about some of the issues involved because of the specificity involved. But, you know, we have gone from Bill Cosby, who drugged women unconscious to rape them, presumably, and to Louis C.K., who, after women voluntarily came up to his hotel room after the bars closed, asked them to watch him engage in a sexual act, and somehow that is being held up as inappropriate. When can a man ask a woman to watch him engage in a sexual act, if not after the bars close and they come up to his hotel room? What's the right thing for a gentleman to do here?
Well, selective on who you ask,
right?
And really, you know, some things should be private.
Yeah, I mean, so the Louis C.K. thing.
I would decline that request.
Sure, by the way,
immediately.
Feel free to decline it. As I understand it, all of Louis C.K.'s conduct was, in fact, in the form of a request, in terms of he asked women, like he literally said point blank, is it okay if I do X or if we do Y? I don't know, and he wasn't their employer or anything. So it just seems like outing sexual behavior that is likely to raise a headline. I don't know. There was another case where a woman was speaking to him on the phone and she declined to hang up the phone, but later complained about his behavior when he was on the phone. And again, this is not a case where he was her employer or anything, like there was that power dynamic.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. And you know, you could probably look at this. I'm writing another story today on a Democrat in New Mexico that was convicted of stalking 10 years ago and was just arrested for it again. Same kind of skeevy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with every single thing that's coming out these days, it's like modern day McCarthyism. It's not, we're not after the commies anymore. We're after the sexual deviants.
I think Al Franken was the latest this week. And of course, last week was Roy Moore. Have you followed the Moore allegations and story?
Of course.
Okay. What's your read on him?
I'm one of those people that likes proof. I'm sorry.
What about that yearbook?
Maybe you had an inappropriate relationship, but until we prove something, you can't just ruin a man's life.
Did you think that the yearbook provided enough proof to,
Well, the thing is, Gloria Allred admitted she's never seen it and she can't verify it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I could come out and say anything I want about anybody.
When I saw that book,
ruin somebody's career and not have a lick of it being true. I want to see proof. I mean, in the Franken photo, you know, he's got his hands where they shouldn't be.
Let's talk about that. I think we can talk about that in depth and in detail without running afoul of any delicate ears that may be listening. So Al Franken was on a USO flight?
A USO plane.
Okay, a USO flight. And on that flight was a female service member who was asleep in a chair, and she was wearing a flak jacket at the time. And there's a photo out there of Al Franken with his hands cupped over the area where her breasts would be. I mean, it's over top of this flak jacket, and it appears, certainly to my viewing of the photo, that his hands, he's not actually making any contact, physical contact, with the garment that she's wearing. So his hands are in the air, right in front of her breasts, basically, where they would be.
That's why that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because she was asleep, and
right.
She wasn't in on the joke. And that's humiliating.
Yeah, I think it may be humiliating
for
all right. So, all right, well, no, that's an important distinction, right? It's not sexual harassment. At all, in no shape, way, or term is it harassment, and it's not a crime at all. It just doesn't meet any of those standards. And it's funny that you are. I'm interested in your reaction to it because I can tell you that as a guy, what a guy will do to his friends that are asleep is probably different than what a girl will do to her friends that are asleep on a road trip.
Yeah, we pretty much don't do anything.
Yeah, well, that's the exact opposite of what a guy does to his friend when six of you are awake and one's asleep. It's not going to be good for the guy who's asleep, especially when the pictures
come. Well, I'm not going on a road trip with you.
Well, you're a girl, so I wouldn't do it to you. But, I mean, in terms of, you know, just a magic marker mustache on your face or whatever it may be, there's going to be some stuff that goes on. Well, in any case, so she actually says, she used the term, this woman, and I don't recall her name, said that he groped her. But it's not a groping to place one hand's not touching another person, right? I mean, we have to, I kind of get sort of look to Orwell for these things. It scares the hell out of me when people use rape to discuss some kinky proposal that had nothing to do with a lack of consent, and as I've seen in response to some of these incidences. And it's disturbing for me to hear the word grope when used when no touching at all seemed to have happened. Do I have that part of the story right, do you know?
Well, maybe it's incorrect terminology to use grope. But then again, there's only one picture, and who knows what happened on the whole USO tour.
Sure, but she was talking about...
It was a sexual picture, whether he was touching her or not. You know, the face he was making and the fact that he was making a huge joke out of it was ridiculous.
Now, at the time, was he was a comedian, not a senator, right?
Yeah, he used to write for Saturday Night Live.
During the time this picture was snapped,
oh,
though.
Yes, he was not a senator.
Okay,
yes.
All right, that's fine. Just because one might expect somebody to behave differently as a member of the U.S. Senate rather than a member of the Saturday Night Live troupe. So,
exactly.
Okay. Well, see, there's nobody whose policies I can loathe more than Al Franken, but I don't want to throw him under the bus for behavior that I don't think... Yeah, I think he was probably just joking around. And
here's why you can throw him under the bus, because he's a giant hypocrite. His inappropriate behavior, regardless of whether he was a U.S. senator or not, and, you know, just like Jimmy Kimmel, all the things that they've done, leaves them speechless in my eyes to cast aspersions on Trump or Moore or anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the Moore thing, I wanted to say this earlier, which was when I saw the yearbook entry, I guess, is to me that made the claims that I heard definitely, I don't want to say 100% believe them, but the credibility went through the roof there to me of the accusers. And I think that he should definitely step down. And then when I heard that it was Gloria Allred who produced that witness and her yearbook, I thought, oh, boy, that just complicates things so much. If it were any other, attorney, I would be 100% saying, but it's just, I know that she is somebody who I think has a willingness to say anything toward in order to hurt Donald Trump and the administration, that I don't really trust anything that comes out of her mouth. So,
no, or to get her face on TV.
Yeah. But it seems like the accusers are certainly stacking up with Mr. Moore. That's another thing sort of, too, about the diversity of the accusations. Like, in one instance, he's accused of asking out an underage girl in the presence of her own mother. And it's like, is that somehow, you know, how am I supposed to process that in terms of, like, that's like an assault? Like, in other words, that story itself was presented like it's supposed to be so odious. I mean, it's sure, it's creepy and it's odd and whatever, but it's like, it's not an attack. He's not a predator, right? He's asking some guy, asking some girl out in front of her mom. I don't know. All right, let's.
Well, I would.
Go ahead.
I would look at the parents on that one first.
Yeah. Well, she said no,
say,
by the way.
Thinking,
the parents,
you know,
said no. I mean, so there was good parenting involved. I just mean for Moore, you know, it's different to, you know, it's like, it's one thing if you're hiding a puppy in the floorboard of your car to lure schoolgirls on the way home from the bus stop. It's another to walk up to some girl who's working in the mall and her mom's there and to say to the mother and the daughter, I'd like to take your daughter out. Just in terms of the creep factor, I guess. But,
well, it's creepy. That would have skeeved me right out as a teenager,
yeah.
But you know, apparently it didn't skeeve her out at all. Maybe the mother was, you know, taken aback, but I don't know. And you know, things that happened 40 years ago or 30 years ago are going to be real darn hard to get, you know, clear memories.
Did you hear about the Stallone accusations? The Stallone accusations are 30 years old. The Dustin Hoffman accusations, which you wrote about, are they also 30 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, I am 44, I think. So 30 years ago, I was 14 years of age. I'm trying to think of if somebody asked me to remember the nuts and bolts of an interpersonal exchange I had when I was 14 years old. I don't think I could do it. How are these people supposed to defend themselves? You know, in the Dustin Hoffman case, for instance, he was alleged to have made an off-color remark to a young woman in front of other people. No even hint of actual like predation or something where her safety, you know, would be compromised if she didn't do what he said, that kind of a thing. So
right.
I just don't understand how that even, you know, why are we printing, these, by we, I mean media generally, you know, why is an off-color remark Dustin Hoffman made, by the way, to a girl who was 17, she wasn't 12, and she was working on a movie set, old enough to work on a movie set. Was she not old enough to hear an adult word directed in her direction?
Right.
Let me just add one point, if I might, and this is what it's sort of building up to, and I want to hear your comment on it. I feel like I've been raised to this point by society and by women to believe that women are just as tough as men, mentally tough, just as capable of handling the big bad world and the big city and big jobs and big decisions and have agency with respect to their professional life and their sexual choices as well. But yet, they have to be protected like some Saudi kingdom shroud that they have to live in, where they can't hear a dirty word, or God forbid a man expresses some sexual interest in them that they don't want, and then now that's somehow a creep show. Anyway, so look, I took the floor for a while there. Sorry.
That's okay. I think this is all scary. If I was a 50-year-old white man right now, I'd be terrified to talk to a woman. When you're dealing with accusations with children, and I'm no psychologist or, social worker, but imagine, what we were both like at age 14 or 15. And now that we are adults and have a different worldview, imagine how many interpretations we could come up with that may or may not be exactly what happened. But as an adult, we see that difference.
Okay, well, there's one last thing I want to talk about before we say goodbye, and it's one of the pieces that you wrote focused almost exclusively on Roman Polanski, who is now 87 years old and is living, I don't know if it's exile is the right word, but he's living on the run, sort of. He will only live in places where he can't get extradited to the United States, where he would stand trial for statutory rape. Have you seen the documentary Roman Polanski Wanted and Desired?
No.
Okay. I strongly recommend it to you and anybody listening. It kind of goes and tells both sides of the story. And it seems like from your article, you are, 100% in the camp that he's a criminal who deserves to be sort of in prison. Is that a fair reading of your thoughts on it?
That should be everybody's reading, since he was
okay,
convicted and,
right,
and left before he admitted it. He was convicted, or not. I don't even know if they went through with the whole process, but he was sentenced for his crime. He has not. Yeah, he's a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed. He admitted he should serve time. And I don't care how brilliant or talented he is. That.
Oh, sure. Right.
There.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's.
He's a criminal.
Making the case that his directorial talents should have bearing on it. And I don't make that argument at all.
How talented he is.
Yeah. I have to say I'm somewhat ignorant of the catalog. I know that he's widely regarded, by the artistic community as a great director. But in terms of the...
Granted, he had a crappy childhood, so, we don't know if it's nurture or nature, but he committed a crime and he should, stand for that. And
right, well, my defense of him is not about his childhood, which I didn't know about until I read your piece, which included both parents lost to the Holocaust and a youth spent in large part avoiding death at the hands of Nazi occupiers in his own Poland until he was able to escape. And then, of course, I did know about the murder of his wife and unborn child at the hands of the Manson people. But what was they talked about in the documentary was essentially they had a sort of agreement that in place that Polanski agreed to that conviction with the idea that he would then only have to serve, and I forget what it was, a month or something like that in a mental hospital. Anyway, maybe we'll talk about this some more down the line. And if you get a chance to see the video, you can tell me if that's bunk or maybe there's a decent
argument
there.
I will tune in to the documentary. I will watch it.
Okay, well, I hope you have happy Thanksgiving, Sarah, and thank you so much for joining us on The Uprising.
Hey, you too, Scott. Good to talk to you as usual.
Thanks, everybody. Ciao.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president. Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into Korea.
Gee, it's amazing that the Russians have been able to influence four special elections.